Morning, our scripture lessons begin with Deuteronomy chapter 26. You may not have heard this before. If you haven't, you should. This is the most important story in the Old Testament. And this story is told and retold in Psalms and in other ways. But it is important that the Christian community knows Deuteronomy 26. And so hear these words. When you come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance to possess, and you possess it and settle in it, you shall take some of the first of all the fruit of the ground which you harvest from the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name. And you shall go to the priest who is in office at that time and say to him, "Today I declare to the Lord your God that I have come into the land that the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us." And when the priest takes the basket from your hand and sets it down before the altar of the Lord your God, you shall make this response before the Lord your God: "A wandering Aramean was my ancestor, and he went down into Egypt and lived there as an alien, few in number, and there he became a great nation, mighty and populous. And when the Egyptians treated us harshly and afflicted us by imposing hard labor on us, we cried to the Lord, the God of our ancestors. And the Lord heard our voice and saw our affliction, our toil, and our oppression. And the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with a terrifying display of power and with signs and wonders. And he brought us into this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. So now I bring the first of the fruit of the ground that you, O Lord, have given me. And you shall set it down before the Lord your God and bow down before the Lord your God. And then you, together with the Levites and the aliens who reside among you, shall celebrate with all the bounty that the Lord your God has given to you and to your house." Amen. And then we turn to 1 Corinthians 15, a very similar passage. Notice the degree that you heard in Deuteronomy 26, reliance upon God. God made that moment possible. We're going to talk about that. God also made this moment possible as well in 1 Corinthians 15. The Apostle Paul writes the church in Corinth and you and me and says, "For I handed on to you as of first importance what I in turn had received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12, and then he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have died. And then he appeared to James, and then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me." This is the word of the Lord. Indeed. Thanks be to God. I want to begin by sharing with you a piece, if Jeff and I can work together on this, a piece from a movie called Shawshank Redemption. It is the story of Andy Dufresne, who came upon his wife and lover, and they both had been shot and killed. And of course, he ran, and he was caught and found and tried and found to be guilty, though he had not done it. And so he ends up in this prison and develops a friendship with Red Redding. Of course, Andy Dufresne is played by Tim Robbins. Red Redding is played by Morgan Freeman. And the two have a discussion about how they are thinking about the life they are living. It would seem to me that some of the things they share with each other sometimes can be likened to the lives we live. because sometimes we live institutional lives, and life is just one dang thing after another, though we might not say dang. Sometimes life just gets to be in a rut and stale. And so I want to begin with this clip. Jeff, if this will work, let's give it a try.
One day, when I got a long white beard, Tulsi Mark was rolling around upstairs and let me out. Tell you what I know. Tell what I know. Tell what I know. To Mexico. A little place on the Pacific Ocean. You know what the Mexicans say about the Pacific? They say it has no memory.
Stop it there.
Get busy living.
Get busy living or get busy dying. Now, one would hope that we don't know anybody that's trying to die. And certainly, Andy Dufresne has some important wisdom for us. Don't know if you know this movie. If you don't, you should. Get busy living or get busy dying. How do you do that? If you're in a strange place, if you're institutionalized, if you feel like you're imprisoned by something, how do you get busy living or get busy dying? Christians have been identifying how they want to live for years. People have been putting their stories to words so that they could remember the good God who makes a possible the abundant life. And this church has aptly said that we're about sharing the abundant life with others that is ours in Jesus Christ. Who would have ever thought that it's possible for slaves to escape the might and power of Egypt? You should know that over 2,000 years ago, the great powers in the world was Assyria and Egypt. And how could a slave people ever hope that they're going to be rescued from that place? And yet people like you and I forget God's power to save every day in which we live. And Israel's leaders understood this. It's believed that Deuteronomy perhaps was written by Moses, or maybe those who lived in the spirit of Moses. But God understood this. And so when a family brought their offering, their yearly offering to the Lord, their first fruits, and they would put them all in a basket, and they would repeat this story. It was their story. It was the story. Now that they were in the land of promise, now that they were living in Canaan, now that they were living in Israel, it was the story of how their ancestors had gotten there. And it was important for them to retell that story. Understand what I just read, that the head of each household was to memorize the story. Having set the basket down, the head of the household was then to repeat that as an act of worship, remembering God's deliverance. Remembering God's power to save. Sometimes you and I forget God has the power to save. How do you get busy living or get busy dying? Well, watch the movie and Andy Dufresne has his own devices. But it's important for the sake of perspective, for the sake of motivation, for the sake of lives living in gratitude, for the sake of understanding where they came from, for the sake of well-being of a family, for the head of the household to sit down and say, a wandering Aramean was my ancestor. He went down into Egypt, few in number. And he would tell this story. And there's a reason Israel used these words in the act of worshiping God. Without them, they would forget who made it possible for them to be there. If they forgot how it happened, they could forget who they were, and they could forget their relationship with God. And so, in the same way, in Corinth, he was a church divided by all kinds of crazy people, just like you and me. All kinds of personal issues that were going on in the church in Corinth. And what is Paul to do? There were some who were living immoral lives. There were some doing harmful things to other believers. There were some did not know how to be reverent to God. And Paul reminds them of the power of God and Jesus that brought them together. This is the reason the early church called to mind what was of first importance. That Jesus died for their sin, and that Jesus was raised from the dead, and that Jesus appeared to many witnesses, and last of all to Paul, who was writing the letter. Now, what did it matter if people forgot that Jesus was raised from death? Who really cares whether or not Jesus was resurrected? Well, without it, they could forget the good news of God that made it possible for them to be the church. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, sins are not forgiven. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, these witnesses are fabricated. In fact, they made this story up. They're lying to one another and to the world. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, there's little hope that God has power over the present order. But if Jesus did rise from the dead, sins may be forgiven. If he did rise from the dead, we may become new people. In fact, we may be on the way to being new people. If Jesus did rise from the dead, there's a way for us to grow morally straight, as the Boy Scouts say. If Jesus did rise from the dead, there is power outside all of us that matters, that can make things right. Could you do this? Yes, you got it. You're there. Yeah, Jeff, you're on time.
Maybe a little ahead.
No, you're right there. Did it matter when the early Christians said, I believe in the Holy Ghost? See what's in bold, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. That came out of 2nd century Rome, before Constantine had been converted, before there was any awareness that there was a geographic church. And here the church was affirming, even before Nicaea in 325, that God is a Trinity and that they believe in the Holy Catholic Church, not the Roman Catholic Church, the universal church, that those who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior are one. Somehow they're part of a body together. Let's go to the next one. Did it matter when Presbyterian Christians in 1967, the United Presbyterian Church, did it matter when they said in their confession that they were to be reconciled to God? That's to be sent into a world as a reconciling community. And that this community, the Church Universal, is entrusted with God's message of reconciliation and shares his labor of healing the enmities which separate men from God and from each other. Does that matter? I believe it does matter. And one more. Does it matter when in 1989 the Presbyterian Church penned this joint confession? The same Spirit who inspired the prophets and apostles rules our faith and life in Christ through the Scripture, engages us through the Word proclaimed, claims us in the waters of baptism, feeds us with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, and calls women and men to all ministries of the church. Does that matter? Do you know what the word misogyny means?
Yes.
What does that mean?
You treat women unfairly.
Misogyny. You think some of that's going on in the world today? There's some women and men who are agreeing and shaking their heads. How can anyone change that? Should anyone try? There are churches that do not have women elders or ministers. There are churches that say that women should never stand up and teach or speak in the same room as men. Do you think God cares about such an idea? They cite faithfulness to the Scripture as the reason that they do that. They are seeking to obey the Word of God, and yet they believe it is inappropriate for a woman to stand up and speak when in the company of men. Do you know the word xenophobia? What does that mean? Xenophobia. It means a fear of people from other countries. Do you think such exists in the world today?
Yes.
How can anyone change that? Should we even try? There are people who believe that people of color should be in their own country. Did you know that? That people of color need to go back to where they came from, their countries of origin. Do you realize how ridiculous and difficult that would be, whatever that means? But there are people who are currently promoting the idea that people of color should return to their country and that America has been created for the white majority. You think God cares about women being put down in our time? You think God cares about racist behavior? Does God care if white men march through the streets of a university community carrying torches and saying things German Nazis said in the 1930s? Does God care about that? Now, they have a right to do that. Thank God you and I live in a country that has the incredible idea that everybody has freedom of speech. But does God care when a person of color is treated as a second-class human being? Does God care when anyone is treated as a second-class human being? Of course God cares. Does God care when a land like Puerto Rico suffers from a lack of basic supplies? Yes, God cares. And so do you and I. Does God care when there are thousands of people on the borders of Syria and Turkey with no place to go? The truth is, how is it that we get busy living or get busy dying? How do we do that? I want to make a tie between that wise saying by Andy Dufresne and what you and I believe about God. Because what you and I believe about God really matters. And having the testimony of the church is vital to your perspective as a Christian. If you and I overlook the testimony of our leaders, we are weaker for it. If we overlook the testimony of those who brought us here, we are weaker for it. If we overlook the testimony of Christian faith and the Reformed faith, you and I are weaker for it. This week I asked, where's Jen? Can you come up here? Or I tell you what, stand right there. I asked all the elders if they would share their faith statement with me. And they're doing it one at a time. But I want you to hear what this young woman has to say about God. I want you to read that paragraph and then go to the top. Are you willing to do that? Listen to what she has to say.
I have a vivid image of... Can everybody hear me?
We can.
I have a vivid image of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God calls himself, I am. And this describes what I believe about God. God is steady, unchangeable, and eternal. The same God who spoke to Moses is the same God who speaks to me and is working in our world today. He is the Alpha and Omega. As he was in the beginning, he will be to the end. And basically, how does this all relate to me? I have a favorite verse that I've relied on throughout my life. It's Hebrews 12:2, and it says, "Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." This is one of the most reassuring, beautiful verses to me. It has gotten me through so many disasters I brought on myself by my past behavior. What this verse says to me is that I don't have to worry about getting it right, or about being perfect, or about ruminating and hating myself for the endless ways I have disappointed God in the past and continue to do now. He's already pinned my life and my mission, and he knows how it's all going to play out. My only responsibility is to stay at his feet, listen, and be patient. Any consequence of my fierce allegiance to him is his issue, not mine. With God's help, I can trust that I'm exactly where he wants me to be, and that when my time here on earth is done, in spite of me, God will have achieved his purpose in sending me here.
Amen. Now, if you want to get busy living or get busy dying, I believe you listen to Jen Hammond. And you listen to our other elders who are going to be sharing their statements of faith in days to come, in Sundays to come. I believe there is value for people to say what they believe in worship. And you can say, but the Apostles' Creed, that's not what I believe. It's what many of you believe. It's what the church has believed since the second century. As an act of worship, Jewish believers gathered and shared what we read from Deuteronomy 26. Jewish believers who had become Christian gathered in Corinth, and along with their pagan Christian brothers and sisters, shared the words of 1 Corinthians 15 to be reminded that Jesus was raised from the dead, that they might be forgiven their sin and might have an abundant life. Now, many these days, and I'm not just us here, but many these days are looking at other churches like Elevation Church and Grace Covenant Church and Mecklenburg Community Church and others. I was talking to a friend of mine in another community, in another state, and he was said, here it's not Elevation Church, it's another community church. Often these people read the Bible literally, and for them, worship is singing God's praises and hearing the word, and it is centered around a key personality. In the Presbyterian church, we're not centered around a key personality. As great as you think your pastors are, and you have a wonderful staff, but this church is given its foundation and leadership in the elders. The elders are the power source in this congregation. And so it would seem to me we take our cue not from the churches that read Scripture literally. We take our cue from our heritage. Now, we're a small church, but we're a Presbyterian church. And it's important, I believe, to listen to the story that the Spirit has been weaving among God's people in Reformed communities for years. It is a blessed story. Personally, I am grateful for someone who grew up Baptist who knew how to share his faith in Jesus Christ boldly and unapologetically. Sometimes we Presbyterians don't do that. And so it took a Baptist that I could ask questions of who knew the scriptures in Hebrew and Greek extensively that I was able to come to a faith in Jesus Christ for myself. But now that I'm a believer, I want to remember that God who brought me here and the faith of those who have loved God for centuries. Get busy living or get busy dying. This is the last scene in this movie. I couldn't get the video version for some reason. But this is Andy Dufresne on his boat that he was talking about. And here comes Red, his friend, with his coat and bag in hand. He made it out of the prison, and he made it out of the country. And now they're actually in this place that is an actual place, Sewatineo. It's between Guadalajara and Acapulco, Mexico. It's really there on the Pacific Ocean. See the movie and you'll see that the Pacific Ocean is as blue in real life as it is in his dreams. As God's people, if we're to get busy living, then I believe we consider the faith of people like Jen Hammond and all our elders and listen to what they say and speak to that in worship. Now, our session will have to decide this matter. And I'm not simply being silly, because I'm a hired hand here. I'm your pastor. And it's important that we consider how it is we worship God. Let us pray. Loving God, this day we thank you for those who have encouraged us and brought us here. We thank you for grace that has claimed us and saved us. And we thank you for your good news at work in our lives in the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray that you will continually guide this congregation, that we may continue getting busy with living the abundant life that is ours in Jesus Christ. We pray that today in his name.